Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 166 years ago, the year that Wisconsin became a state, over in Ireland, Cecil Frances Humphreys was publishing a book of her hymns called Hymns for Little Children. Among the hymns were Once in Royal David's City, which is in our TAN supplement, and one that said, All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. And it certainly is worth singing about that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. Because of this, when we see a treasure bestowed, we know whom to thank. But our epistle lesson today goes even farther to fill our hearts with joy and our mouths with singing. For not only is it true that every good gift, every good thing comes from God, but it is also true for God's children that nothing but good comes from God. Yes, even things that are painful at the moment, if they are from God, they are for our good. We read from Romans chapter 8, beginning at the 28th verse. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. For those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. Here ends our epistle lesson. In Jesus' name, beloved of God, the hour of reckoning had come. They had been caught, and the 10 of them came into the room fearing for their lives. They were guilty of some terrible offenses against their brother. They had wanted to murder him, but instead they had made him suffer. They had shipped him off as a prisoner to a foreign country, and after years in prison, he had miraculously been released and had been given much power in that country. Still, he had treated his brothers well and invited them and their father to live in his new country. But now the father had died. The father whom their brother loved. And now he could have his revenge on his 10 brothers without disturbing his father. The brothers came in and threw themselves at his feet. We are your slaves, they said. But as they knelt before him asking his forgiveness, Joseph wept. Then he said, Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. We have an expression, all's well that ends well. And perhaps we might think of something like this when we hear those words from our epistle. In all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. It happened years ago in Mountaineer, North Carolina, that Joseph Sardler, who had been totally blind for 6 years, was heading for the basement to do some laundry when he tripped over a dog dish that had been left on the step and tumbled down the stairs, cracking his head against the concrete wall at the bottom of the stairs. When he came to, the furnace loomed in front of him like a monster, and he cried out, "I can see!" Because of that misplaced dog dish, Sardler later saw his 5-year-old daughter for the first time. Can any good come from an injury or an accident? When Peter was thrown into prison by King Herod for speaking the word of Christ, the death sentence was pretty much assured. He was being guarded by 4 soldiers night and day, chained between 2 of them. But the night before Herod was going to bring him to trial, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared and awakened Peter. "Get up," he said, and the chains fell off. Peter thought he was dreaming, but he led Peter out of the prison, past the guards, to freedom. In all things, God works for the good, right? But what about James, the brother of John? Just like Peter, James was one of the inner circle of witnesses. They had seen Jesus raise the daughter of Jairus. They had been with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and had seen him pray on the mountaintop. Whether in agony or in glory, they had been with him. Well, James had also been taken prisoner by Herod, and he had already been put to death before Peter was taken prisoner. James was put to death. Peter was released. For which one did all things work together for good? Of course, the answer is for both of them. God took James home to himself, to eternal joy and glory and peace. And he had more for Peter to do and suffer, serving his dear Lord and Savior in this life. Paul says, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him." But he does not say that we will always see it. He knew those who loved him. He knew them before they ever loved him. He chose them before the foundation of the world, and we did not see any of that. He outlined them, chose them to follow Christ, to be his brothers, to partake in his glorious resurrection to eternal life, so that he, Christ, might be the firstborn among many brothers. And in fact, this is the joy that was set before Jesus so that he endured the cross, the joy of all those whom he was rescuing through his death. But God did not stop there. He also came with the good news of forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. And by that good news, that gospel, he called and persuaded his children to trust his loving kindness and forgiving mercy. He declared them innocent in connection with Jesus, that is, he justified them before the judgment seat of Almighty God. And those he justified, he also glorified. But we do not yet see the fullness of that glory, do we? James did. But we do not see. We do not see God planning all of this in eternity. And if we did, we probably would not understand it. But what do we see? We see Jesus Christ, nailed to a cross, suffering and dying for the sins of the whole world. We see the risen Savior declaring us justified, forgiven, and assuring us of a place in the mansions of his Father. We see crosses and sickness and sorrow and suffering, together with the promise of sunshine and smiles and sweet relief from him whom Jesus told us to call our Father. Now we see dimly, but the Apostle James got to see it all when he was imprisoned and executed. He got to see what we shall one day see. how our rescue was God's doing from beginning to end. Did you hear that in the reading? Those he predestined, he called, he justified, he glorified. It was God's doing from beginning to end. And even the fact that we are those who love him is all God's doing in connection with Jesus Christ. We love because he first loved us. And it's not our great decision or accomplishment. In the Old Testament, when God called Jeremiah to be his spokesperson to the people, he said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." In the same way, God knew us who love him and chose us in connection with Christ. So when the good news invited us to the banquet of forgiveness and drew us into the house and the door closed behind us, there we could see it written on the inside of the door behind us, "I chose you." Even our entering was not to our glory, but his. As Jesus once said to his disciples, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Now, picturing this as written on the inside of the door, what does it say about those on the outside of the door? Paul does not answer or even ask the question. He has another word to say to those who remain outside, but what he wants us to know for sure is that it is God who works for our good in all things, that it is his doing anything good in us or that happens to us. Good does not always mean staying alive. It may include suffering. It does not always mean immediate release from pain and sorrow. Good means being known by God, being chosen to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. It means being called, being justified, being glorified. Good means ending well. And no matter how dark the clouds overhead, we may be sure that God is not a quitter. His purpose for us is eternal good. For that reason, he sacrificed his own Son. And he will surely carry it through. So we may always look to him. Whether we can see clouds of witnesses gathered around us in a great congregation, or whether we feel very much alone. Whether, like Joseph of old, we can see how God used our suffering to help others or not. Whether he releases us from prison or calls us home. Whether some crack on the head enables us to see the blessings showered upon us in this life. Or whether, like the disciples on the way to Emmaus, our eyes are opened only to the Scriptures to see God's promises all fulfilled in Jesus. Not only is the suffering of this life not worthy to be compared with the glory that lies ahead in Christ, but also right now, see it or not, all things work together for good to them that love God. That is why we sing, "Hence, all fear and sadness, for the Lord of gladness, Jesus, enters in." Those who love the Father, though the storms may gather, still have peace within. Yea, whate'er I here must bear, thou art still my purest pleasure, Jesus, priceless treasure. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.